Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Back for Ruthless Aggression. A little early this week because I gotta go to San Diego watch some baseball and get drunk. So you know the difference between Las Vegas and San Diego right now is like 35-40 degrees.
Is it really? It's crazy.
It's 107 out right. Well, probably down to like 105 because it's 6:30 right now. But when I was leaving for work, it was 107.
It's fucking hell yeah, man! Can't wait for August,
dude. August is going to be a shit show the second that you step off the plane, because you have a mid-afternoon, late
flight. No, I think we get out there at like 9.
Ooh, yeah. Boy, yeah, you're going to be baking at 9 o'clock tonight, bro. Like, I'm sorry about that. But this is Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris, as always. We're going to talk about a little bit about SummerSlam. We'll try to fit in SummerSlam. We'll talk about Double or Nothing, which happened over the weekend. There were highs, there were lows. And then we will also go back to the week in 2005. John Cena's last SmackDown. Raw was but actually we do have a big thing to talk about on Raw. So we'll also get into that too. One of the, more iconic wrestling songs of all time debuted on Raw, so we'll talk about everything in between. But let's start out with the shocking news that dropped on Wednesday morning. I my jaw dropped on the way to work when I saw that WWE another round of cuts, and you know, some of them were your expected ones. Aleister Black, you don't expect Aleister Black after the fucking vignettes they've been running for however long, and they just started that feud with Big E. But Aleister Black was let go. Ruby Riott was let go. Blanking on names. Lana, Buddy Murphy, Santana Garrett, which, I mean, like, kind of did it to herself over the weekend.
Yeah.
So that's all we're going to be talking about, Santana Garrett. But the most surprising name on that list was Braun Strowman. And immediately when I saw Braun, there were two things that came to my mind. One, what the fuck? This dude is like your Big Show of this era. There has to be a reason that you let him go. And then the second was, oh, he makes a lot of money. And this is another round of WWE trying to find ways to save money because they were hit so hard by the pandemic. Yeah, I was just, we'll start with Braun, because I was completely blown aside by Braun. Fightful Select says that Strowman signed a monster deal, quote unquote, in 2019 worth over $1 million per year. So I don't know the last dude that was making $1 million at least that was cut by WWE, or on the level of Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Well, you know what the thing is 2019, you know, when AEW was still coming to fruition, they were just giving everyone the 5-year deals just to kind of keep them away. And, you know, with the pandemic causing, you know, a year and a half of lost revenue, plus the fact that AEW's not really competition, quote unquote, anymore. You can let people go, I think, a little more freely. I mean, it's rare to see kind of, you know, widespread releases in back-to-back months. I get people thinking that they might be gearing up to sell. It probably not. I mean, I think, you know, these things happen sometimes. Braun in particular was surprising. I mean, he's not my favorite, but I think his past couple matches, especially, you know, the WrestleMania match with Shane was good, and then the Triple Threat was very good, and it wouldn't surprise me if he comes back at some point.
No,
absolutely. I don't see him going anywhere else.
I honestly could see him taking a lesser deal to stick around.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's just how it goes sometimes. You know, I think he had a very accomplished career with them. Even, you know, if this is it, he did pretty much everything there is to do. I mean, he got a tag title. He got the
Universal title, et cetera, et cetera.
He won a Royal Rumble, technically.
Won the Andre as well. Mm-hmm. You know why?
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's unfortunate for him, but, you know,
life goes on.
A lot of people were ready to, you know, celebrate about it because he said what he said last year about the independent wrestlers and all
which
that.
Which I had totally forgotten. So my boys, Braden and Davey, shout out Braden and Davey from Up Next. Before, like, when they posted, I was like, oh, that's right. That's right. The iron knee. you know, Braun's kind of eating crow for that, and I feel like rightfully so. But people also get and I say this as somebody that's just like, oh, who cares about Santana Garrett, right? But excuse me, like, people get very happy with making fun of people for losing their jobs,
and it's
In some cases it could be kind of gross and cruel, and, like, you know, you wouldn't like that, and a lot of people experienced that last year. So, you know, that was really crass, but Strowman will be fine. He is a face that I feel like if you're a casual wrestling fan over the last couple of years, you've gotten to know. I feel like Strowman's been at, you know, different things that cater to a certain crowd, so they might fuck with Braun Strowman if he were to go somewhere else, but he's more than likely staying. The news of Braun Strowman really hit our good friend Robert O'Neill home. So much so that I woke up this morning and I saw so many people sending out their condolences and their heartfelt wishes to you, Rob, because I know that Braun Strowman's one of your favorites, and you were very distraught to hear that he's no longer around with the WWE for the time being.
It was a very well-coordinated bit. I have to give everyone credit for that.
Yeah, man. It's so well-coordinated that even one of our favorite wrestlers of all time sent you a good video. So, you know, hopefully to, you know, pick up your spirits and make you feel a bit better. Here is one of our favorite wrestlers of all time, one James Ellsworth.
Robert O'Neill, the man with the cool hat, it's your boy James Ellsworth, the man to beat AJ Styles. Not once, not twice, but three times the real winner of the first ever Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Listen, man, I hear you're upset about Braun Strowman's release, as am I, because I'm on the independents, and now he's coming to the independents, and I gotta look behind my back, grow eyes in the back of my head, and just be scared for my life, because I know he's coming after me. But listen, man, in all seriousness, Braun Strowman, he's a monster. I'm not sure why they let him go, but I'm sure he'll be back on your television before you know it, because he is a legit monster. And monsters need to be on television entertaining us all. I had a run-in with him a couple of years ago. I got signed to WWE afterwards. Had another run-in with him at Survivor Series. And then again at the Royal Rumble. And at the end of all those run-ins, I wind up getting beat up. So hopefully I don't see him soon. But I'm sure we're all going to see him soon. Take care, man. Thanks for being a big fan of us all. God bless you. Stay safe. And remember, any man with two hands can get these hands.
That was one James Ellsworth. Thank you to IVP Videos for hooking us up with that. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Man, how are you feeling after this, I guess it'll be like 30-something hours after Braun Strowman's been released?
Yeah, man. You know, it's been tough. I've gotten better though. It's okay. I'm over it.
Life moves on, man. Life moves on. Hey, you know, Jay-Z once said, if you love it, you should let it go astray. And fuck it, if it comes back, you know it's there to stay. So, if you see Braun on our television screens in a couple months, you know it's real. You know it's real. Aleister Black is also gone. And this is a move everyone could have saw coming out of left field. Maybe not at this point in time, but eventually. But it's reality now. And he did not sound bitter on Twitch when he talked about the news and talked about his release. He gave a lot of praise to Vince. Thanks to Vince for, you know, being able to, you know, listen to his creativity and giving praise to his creativity.
Yeah, people were really mad about that too.
Wow. That how can you praise his creativity, but you don't want him around anymore? You didn't do anything with him on the main roster.
Well, yeah. You know, real mad that he wasn't bitter or upset at what happened.
It makes no sense for people to be more mad than the man who just got released and basically fired. I don't understand how people do that, but whatever, dude. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it was surprising because he's in the middle of a feud. You know, if it happened any time in the last 8 months, I think we all expected it to happen. But then they started running the vignettes and he came back and, you know, played a big part in the main event of SmackDown 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Has a shirt on WWE Shop for pre-order right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if he was, you know, maybe making too much as well or what the deal is there. I mean, it sucks. I think Aleister Black was very good. You know, he probably didn't get the chances he should have gotten on the main roster, but
agree.
Hopefully he can go AEW wherever and
prosper. wherever he goes, know? I think he'll be a nice asset. He did clue into something that he was supposed to win the U.S. title last year, but Vince held off because he didn't want his first title win to not be in front of fans, which I think is a bit grueling considering we were so close to getting them back.
It is, but it's also admirable. Because, you know, hey, maybe like a lot of people were hopeful that this shit wouldn't last that long.
Agree.
So I can't really be too mad about, hey, they didn't pull the trigger on him when they possibly could have. And, you know, it could have saved his run, but maybe it wouldn't even matter because he still makes a lot of money. Like, we don't know. To us, it's you know, you're looking at people on a pay scale. Who can you chip off the block for, you know, lack of a better word? So who knows if his performance really would even factored into that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Aleister Black is one of two people to work, you know, all four WrestleMania weekend shows, and I don't think that's ever going to change. So that's a cool thing he'll always have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's unfortunate because, like I said, I think there was promise with this. And, you know, the flip side of it is Big E suddenly doesn't have anything now. So what do you do there? You know, because he's a guy that you are presumably trying to build up to maybe eventually wrestle Roman, and now you're back at square one with them.
Well, that's going to require some replenishing, which I think is definitely something that everyone should be bracing for.
Yeah.
Which I just want to say, like, I get it, but if I have to see one more tweet about the size of the SmackDown roster, I'm going to scream.
Well,
yes, it's small. Guess what? It's a 2-hour show that sometimes it happens, but they're going to replenish. Like, they're going to reload. Like, we've been doing this for like 6 months now. Like, we get it. I know. I've been saying it the entire time.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing came out today that Bruce Pritchard and Johnny Ace and some other folks were at the Performance Center kind of making their picks on who they want to bring up. So it's coming. I mean, they're gonna reload, obviously. Well, you look at these releases the past couple months, most of the mid. So that's got to be replenished. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm not one to get too harped up on, okay. I think I saw the tweet that says like 6 women on the SmackDown roster, 8 women on the SmackDown roster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's what you got NXT for. So you can replenish.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And people are getting too up in arms because, like, they cut. And I think it's specifically upset about some of the women that they've cut. You know, now that you've gotten rid of Lana, who was getting better and growing in the ring, and I think latching on to fans in a certain way, and also like her having her with Naomi, like they were a really good tag team. Not talking about in ring, but just like together, they fit the mold of what a tag team should be, or should strive to be at least. Ruby is somebody that definitely did not get a fair shake in WWE.
Nope.
Her biggest match, and correct me if I'm wrong here, her biggest match is the one that she had against Ronda Rousey on Raw that lasted like 50 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, no, because it was, you're thinking the opposite, because the pay-per-view one didn't last very long. And Ronda apparently had, you know, was unhappy about that. So they ran it back on Raw the very next night for like 10 plus.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was either that or her match against Charlotte the previous year at Fastlane. But I would obviously say that it was the Ronda one at Fastlane the following year.
It's interesting with her because she's an example of someone that I don't think really they use right in NXT either.
No.
Nah.
She was always better than where she was, yes, you know, on the card. And even
who was champion when she was there? Was Shayna?
It was Asuka.
Yeah, Asuka.
It was Asuka. Okay. So, of course.
Damn, I mean, she was there for that long? Because she came up right before, right, like November 2017 is when the Riot Squad came
up. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So Asuka would have been champion through, what did she drop the belt?
Through Brooklyn. Because she dropped the title shortly thereafter because she got hurt during that match. And Ruby was still hanging around there.
And but, she wasn't in that fatal four way with Ember, right?
Ruby? I don't think Ruby was in the fatal four way in November. No. But she was in the first NXT TakeOver Chicago event, where they did a triple threat with her, Nikki, and Ruby, or Asuka, I should say. They did Asuka, Nikki, and Ruby. And Nikki and Ruby had been having a pretty good feud up until that point. And then they had Asuka pin them both at the same time.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. So they, okay, they, I will go to the length that say that they just never realized what they had with her. But at the same time, I was worried about her when these releases kept happening because of the reason that we've said that she hasn't had a fair shake. She's been there. She was there from November 2017 up until now. She had those two singles title matches and nothing else.
Yeah.
And no tag title reigns for whatever stupid reason.
No, and it feels like a slam dunk to give, you know, those two a tag
title reign. Yeah, they should have, but they dropped the ball, and that we've gone over that however many times over the last few months. But if you go 3.5 years or so without doing a lot, especially if you're in the women's division, you are either on the chopping block or, I hate to be rude, you're that or you're Dana Brooke, and you somehow still keep going on. Which, credit to her for continuing to maneuver her way through there. It's a testament to her that, you know, she hasn't been on the chopping block like others who have, you know, been in that position. I'm not saying, oh, Dana should be fired. Like, no, I'm just pointing out that she's someone who is an outlier here. She's been there for 6 years, hasn't had a title, and is still hanging around. Whereas Ruby was up there for 3.5 and was not afforded those same fortunes, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, and I think another thing about Ruby is, you know, everyone has gone out of their way to say, you know, how
the good most and, the most outward praise out of anybody that got released yesterday.
Yeah.
By far. From pretty much every woman on the roster in every aspect. Bailey's tweet was particularly informative, how they pointed out how she, you know, organized like locker room birthday parties and whatnot. She had sent a gift to Chelsea after she got hurt. She had sent Bailey flowers after her grandfather died, I believe it was. So you can just tell how much respect that she had from everyone, how nice she was to everybody, how she made everybody feel welcomed. That's a loss for the locker room that's going to be felt tangibly and intangibly, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think, you know, she can go anywhere.
Oh, yeah. You know, she can go anywhere, and I'm going to be rooting for her to succeed literally wherever she goes.
100%. Yeah.
100%. She can go to AEW. She can go to Impact. She could go to Ring of Honor.
Like, they would get a big boost.
Yeah.
That women's division would get a big boost.
Oh, yeah.
Mighty Loveless.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, you know, kind of like the same thing as Big E, you know, Liv is kind of back at square one now, which is unfortunate.
Liv is back to square one in a worse spot than Big E.
Yeah, exactly. Cause...
Yeah, but something tells me that Liz has really big baby face potential. And if they can tap into that and do something with Liv, then I'm hoping.
You know what? You know what? She's been pitching for it the entire time. I mean, it doesn't have to. Bailey can, like, you know, maybe pick up a win or two against, but put them two together. Have them feud. Have Bailey make Liv, because I know she wants to.
Yeah.
Have that be a secondary feud on SmackDown. People will eat it up.
Yeah,
I'm not mad at that.
No, that'd be good.
No. I don't know what else to say about Lana other than, yeah, it makes sense for her to go with Miro and AEW.
Yes.
I think is that everybody that got cut?
Buddy Murphy.
Now, Buddy has a lot of interesting possibilities because, yes, he could go to AEW where he'd be Kenny Omega Jr. They have great matches. I'm pretty sure Buddy would have great matches with anybody on their roster. But I could also see him in New Japan. Or I could also see him heading up New Japan's U.S. promotion.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's really the interesting part because, you know, if he goes to AEW, we know his potential, but I don't know that they, you know, maximize it. If he goes to New Japan, he's probably going to be, you know, one of the top guys.
Because he could easily, you know, be in the best of Super Juniors every single year and everyone would probably pay attention to that. I know I would.
Yeah, exactly. And you usually don't. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That tells you exactly.
Like if he was in the, you know, G1 or whatever, you'd probably watch his matches.
I would.
I mean, so yeah, a lot of intriguing options. And just kind of going off what we talked about last week, I don't remember if it was on the one that got recorded or not. You know, it's going to be interesting for wrestling with all these, you know, free agents and upcoming free agents where there's going to be a lot of kind of moving and shaking on various rosters, and this is just kind of another step towards that.
Yeah, and you mentioned something on the one we actually recorded about a possible sale of WWE. Now, you just said earlier in the show that you don't see it possibly coming to fruition. And my response is, well, last week you did say that it was a possibility. You didn't want to throw it out there. My response was, compare it to the Chicago Bears. Do you ever see the McCaskey family selling the Chicago Bears? And both said no. Then today, the fucking Daily Herald comes out. There could be a sale coming in the near future. And that's because there's, quote, internal strife going on among family members to sell now. Now, I would hope and pray to God that I am the kiss of death in this scenario. And that, well, not literally to Virginia McCaskey. Goodness, she's 98 years old. I don't need okay. But, you know, let's just say the Chicago Bears did get sold. Even if it's to fucking Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, two dudes who are reprehensible. And I'm just like, you know what? I've never been happier. I have people who are going to pay attention to my football team and actually care. I'm not saying that, like, WWE would sell, but all the cuts and it being because of money, is it simply just COVID kicked WWE's ass so much? Or is it Vince wants to cash in on everything that he's built? And if it benefits the family, then that helps too. I don't know. I'm more willing to listen to sale talks than I was Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's keeping an open mind. And it's hard not to. You know, you look at all these properties kind of in the past 5 years, you know, Star Wars going to Disney for all that money, Marvel going to Disney for all that money, MGM going to Amazon. And it's hard, you know, when you're basically a content factory yourself to not be intrigued by. I think they're valued in Forbes at like $4.5 billion. So you would figure if they're going to sell, it would take probably, you know, five or six for someone to actually get Vince to sell. But I mean, that's obviously an incredible amount of money. You know, never have to do anything again. And I mean, I don't know what Vince would do with himself. That's the only hang up is, you know,
fucking mind.
Yeah. Like what's he going to do if he's not working 120 hours a week? But it's interesting. I mean, you know, Nick Khan is clearly doing something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes you think.
Really does. Let's move on now. Talk about Double or Nothing, AEW's. Would you call it the premiere show, or is All Out the premiere show?
I think All Out.
Because technically AEW's first show as a promotion.
Yeah, probably still All Out.
Are you thinking about going All Out in Hoffman Estates?
Probably not, because it's between when I'm going to Vegas and New Orleans. So, I mean, even though it's, you know, at home, I don't even know if I'm going to go to Full Gear. Full Gear is going to be down here. You know, I'll visit with people that come down for it. But I don't know that I want to go to a, you know, four-hour AEW show where I'm not going to like half the matches.
I don't blame you. I really don't blame you. But Double or Nothing was this past weekend. What did you guys think of the show?
It was pretty good. I mean, it's a little confusing. You know, I would have had Kingston and Moxley get the win over the Young Bucks, especially with, you know, their entrance. They were just red hot, and you could have made a change there. You know, I said Christian should win the Battle Royal. He got eliminated by Jungle Boy. That kind of is what it is. You know, I think Christian should have a title shot at some point, but
Christian doesn't need the Battle Royal to get a title shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, that goddamn song has been stuck in my head all week.
So, oh, yeah.
I feel like it's when we get back in front of full crowds, like legit, it's going to be very easy to get behind Jungle Boy.
Yeah. And that's another thing that I want to talk about AEW. I like the licensed music. I know WWE doesn't really have to do it because for the past, you know, 30 years, they've had good themes and AEW doesn't. That's why they do the licensed music. But it really adds something to a guy like Jungle Boy who would otherwise just kind of be a guy.
Yeah. And, you know, granted, Mox, I don't think Mox ever used Wild Thing on the indies. Correct me if I'm wrong. But like, you know, for Jungle Boy to have his theme that's on the indies that like is already familiar to people that watch AEW, that's going to be a, you know, a big help to him. Plus, like, that song is so unbelievably catchy.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, to your point about Mox, like, that's what I got to give Tony Khan so much credit for that. Because a perfect theme for Mox. And a lot better than the one that they had him doing. It was just like a generic WWE theme.
Mm-hmm. You know,
how many times do we watch Major League and then we instantly get up, start dancing and singing, Wild Thing, da-da-da-da, you make my heart say. Like it fits Mox well, and his whole coming through the crowd being a loose cannon kind of thing. I like that shit a lot. But yeah, I'm not mad. Well, by the way, I caught on to the Eddie Kingston controversy earlier today. You know, I wasn't really digging the apology, but that's not why I'm here. People really thought Eddie Kingston was black?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't aware. Like, I mean,
it's okay if you weren't aware. I'm just really, like...
No, I wasn't like, oh, he's definitely black. I was like, you know, he's not 100% white. I don't know what else he is. And I looked it up and it's like, oh, you know, that's, but people thought Taz was black too, as recently as last year. So
just the most ridiculous thing is,
yeah,
but at least, yeah. But okay. I don't even know if like there's much of a difference, but I would say like, okay, I'm not saying I could see it, but Taz is tan. So yeah. Like super tan. So if you want to be like, okay, he might be Puerto Rican. I get it. Eddie Kingston, the only thing he got going for him is that he's street. So, yeah. Like, you tell me you thought Eddie Kingston was black is a double shot. Because not only you're wild in thinking that this white man is black, then you're like, oh, everybody that wears Chico's Bail Bonds jerseys and bandanas around their head and acts thuggish is black. What are we saying here?
Yeah.
What are we really saying here? Hangman Page had to work with The Machine. Really sorry to hear that. I want so much better for Hangman Page. If you could take Hangman Page and Jungle Boy and put him in NXT, I'd be very happy.
It feels like Page is going to be the guy to beat Omega. They're just kind of waiting for the full crowds, I think.
It would hopefully make sense.
You
know, given the tag team history, it would make sense.
Yeah. Cody winning is very bad and indefensible.
What the fuck was that?
I saw someone call him Hunter Hearst Homelander.
That was the funniest tweet of the week. Just fucking hilarious. Yeah, him coming out in the Homelander gear was what the fuck?
Yeah.
But even more mind-blowing was him winning that match against Anthony Ogogo. And, you know, this is why it's... I think both of those matches are why it's bad to have the inmates running the asylum. Because they do not know when to take losses. And when to take the right losses. And then they'll just complain and be snarky about it on fucking TV when you criticize them. Here's looking at you, Young Bucks, talking about, oh, everybody liked us when we were on the indies. Now we run the show. No, people don't like you because you're an asshole. Because you don't know how to run a wrestling company.
Well, then another thing came out with them where they were like, you know, we wanted to put over a tag team, but Tony Khan said no, which is, you know, like a page out of Kevin Nash's book, which I have to respect, I guess. But, you know.
What, the lying about booking?
Yeah. Blame him when you know, could probably just do it if you wanted to. I don't, it's clear that I think Tony Khan has the final say in everything, but I think all of these guys who are working have too much input still.
I would agree.
Like, but it was a pretty good show overall. You know, Britt Baker won. Sting looked surprisingly good.
Is Britt okay? Because she took a rough hit.
Yeah, I think she's doing all right. I hope so. You know, it's her time finally with the title. And then, you know, Leo Rush is there now. That's fun.
Well, he's Leo good. Rush is in New Japan. He's doing the you know, working with AEW on the side bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think my thing is just kind of looking at the show, you know, they had four matches that were more than 20 minutes, and it's just, we don't need that anymore. It works for that audience. I'll say that. I don't know. If WWE comes back and Money in the Bank is, you know, 4 hours long, we're going to have problems. SummerSlam, you can do it. You know, WrestleMania, you can do it. But if you're going to do it for every pay-per-view, it's going to be a problem. Because
thing with them is, like, they only have four pay-per-views.
Yeah, so, and that's kinda, why I think it's fine for them. Yeah. But, you know, it's, we've just gotten used to these shorter shows. And I think it's hard when you have one that's 4 hours. And but they also did it the night before holiday, so... You know,
yeah, that was also fair. Also, didn't help me because of work, but yeah, that's also fair. What did you guys think of the main event, Stadium Stampede?
It was good. I liked the one last year better. You know, they're like, we're gonna try and get more serious with it this year. It was cool to see Urban Meyer. He's an asshole, but you know, nice to see him. I guess.
I was more hyped to see Charlie Strong. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah, yes.
Charlie Strong was the one that was throwing darts to Chris Jericho. Hey, actually, you know, if you want a veteran to help bring along Trevor Lawrence, because that's what you do when you're a football team and you draft a quarterback high in the first round of the draft. You have an experienced quarterback to lie and say, "Yeah, that's my QB1."
Chris Jericho, yeah, man, your QB1. They promised Andy Dalton that he was going to start week one. That came out today, so
we'll see.
You know,
we'll see.
Yeah, I know. No, here's my thing. I think the Stadium Stampede match itself was fine, but you know, I have a problem doing it after War Games. I talked about that. And then if you're going to do it after War Games, you have to have the team with the stipulation attached to them actually lose. Because now, what was the point of any of this? And you know, I tweeted that, and everyone's like, "Oh, you know, it was entertaining." And motherfucker, every WWE match is entertaining. There's no stakes. It doesn't matter.
Tell it like it is, man.
But yeah, no, I think Double or Nothing was fine, though.
Thoughts on the championship match?
It went how we expected it to go. I mean, you know, like, there's not much. It was entertaining, you know, but it's kind of like I just said, if it goes how you expect it to go, there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It is just cool to see, almost called him Leaf Cassidy, Jesus Christ. Get to see Orange Cassidy in a main event. And
yeah.
Hopefully when we get back into more crowds, he can do more shit and be all more awesome.
Speaking of crowds, Impact is letting fans back for Slammiversary. That just got announced, actually. A limited number of fans, they're saying.
Impact also had a 63-minute TJ Perkins match tonight, so why? You know what?
Why?
An hour-long Iron Man match.
I mean, at least Josh Alexander's good.
Went to overtime.
But no, No. You did an hour between TJ Perkins and Josh. Who the fuck wants to see that?
And they have Steve Cutler now, so that's not surprising.
Good for them. You know, hey, I ain't the biggest Steve Cutler fan. You know, he's a part of it, but you know, hey, at least he's bouncing back because it's not really his fault that he got cut.
No,
nope. And somehow that motherfucker is still there.
Somehow he hasn't been a part of the cuts. Like,
Jesus despite Christ. The fact that Elias basically took a shovel and fucking buried him in that promo after he turned on him.
That would be the perfect time to cut him.
Speaking of that, I do want to talk about Adam Cole and Karrion Kross.
Yes,
ooh, Adam Cole! Adam Cole made that man look like a fool! Good God almighty.
I mean, he deserves it, so.
Okay, yeah. Fair point.
That was great. That was great. It's nice to see Adam Cole back. The five-way at In Your House is going to be very good. I don't know if they're going to add a ladder to it or whatever, as they tend to do with these things sometimes, but looking forward to it. You haven't had a five-way in a while.
They've definitely
scramble in NXT.
They should.
Definitely,
it's been a really long time since they've done a championship scramble, period.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, this is only the second time that NXT has actually run a multi-man NXT championship match at a takeover. Because the only other time, to my knowledge and to my remembrance, is the one that they had at TakeOver Fatal 4-Way back all the way in 2014. Other than that, it's only been singles matches.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, the triple threat that was supposed to happen with Aleister, Johnny, and Ciampa didn't happen because Aleister got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of insane to think about, that they went 7 years without having a multi-man match in a, you know, title main event.
Yeah, just kind of glancing over.
Yeah, it's only been singles
main events here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. So that'll be good. And I mean, it's four guys who are very good workers.
And Karrion
Kross, who in a five-person match should be able to hide that he's not.
Do you think? Do you think that this was a panic move because they got Cole back? Because it
was he hurt or where has he been?
I don't know where he's been, but he's just been kind of chilling.
Yeah.
But like before this past week, they had been teasing that, you know, O'Reilly was feuding with Dunn and Oney was getting involved and they both beat up Bobby Fish. And it's like, oh, are they going to do the Red Dragon revival against them? And then is it just going to be, you know, Gargano versus Cross? Because, you know, they have been talking about how, you know, they got one over on him that one time. And Cross had faced Theory, and then, you know, they do this five-way, and then, you know, Theory is bumping chests with Oney, so they're colliding right now. So it seems like something switched there.
Maybe they realize Cross is not good.
I mean, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked if there's sort of remorse there, because it's like, okay, you had, I mean, coming out of Tuesday, the biggest person in that brand was Adam Cole.
Yeah.
He went out there, he beat up O'Reilly, he beat up Dunn, he beat up Gargano, he basically told off Regal more than once, he punked out Cross, he threw a water bottle at him, and he just left the arena like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was completely unscathed. And it's like, you know, you come away from that thinking, okay, let's get Cole that title belt, and let's run O'Reilly and Cole at the next takeover in the summer. And who gives a shit about Cross? He can go fade away and be mid somewhere else.
Yeah.
And get punked out by Roman on the main roster with all these people. Ooh, yeah, I want Roman versus Cross.
No, man. What does it take for... Because, like, that's going to be a pretty big blow to his career. What is it going to take for Karrion Kross to be properly rehabbed after that evisceration?
I don't know. It's hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
Because Finn disrespected him also. I mean, remember the finger gun to his head.
Yeah.
He beat him, but it's like, I mean, Cole's completely made him look like a fucking loser.
Well, he's in a tough spot because he's not very good at wrestling. But also, you know, when he does eventually go to the main roster, he's just going to be another, you know, regular size guy up there.
Yeah.
He stands out at NXT because he's very big.
And they had a bunch of big dudes last fall. But all of them are gone now.
Yeah, so on the main roster, he's, you know, Baron Corbin height, maybe.
Dijakovic?
6'4", or whatever.
Dijakovic?
Yeah.
How tall is he?
Like, yeah, six, probably about 6'4".
Okay, yeah, so.
I didn't know that Cross was trained by Disco Inferno, but that makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
Cross was trained out here at Future Stars of Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe if he wins the Fatal 5-Way in dominating fashion or whatever, but even then, like... And you can't do that either. Like, you can't have that match only last a few minutes or whatever. So I don't know.
No.
They're in a tough position. And I don't know if they've realized that he's not all that good or if he's going to be moved up soon or what the deal. There's a lot of moving parts.
There's a lot of moving parts.
World Wrestling Federation at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of moving parts of the Federation. I think that's all because there's not really any, like, major updates regarding SummerSlam to talk about.
Correct.
So, yeah, let's get right to 2005. We have one more week left in the month of May. We have John Cena, well, we don't know at the time, but John Cena's final appearance on as a regular on SmackDown for 11 years, and a brand new theme debuting for our World Heavyweight Champion. Cue the finger guns.
Yes.
Yeah, so going into 2005 in this week, the top five songs in America, we have a riser at number five. Is Don't Funk With My Heart by the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, God, that song is terrible.
4 and 3 remain the same with O by Ciara featuring Ludacris being number 3, Just a Little Bit by at number 4 by 50 Cent. Holla Back Girl by Gwen Stefani falls to number 2, and rising all the way to number 1 this week is We Belong Together by Mariah Carey. Be prepared, folks. This song is going to dominate the charts all summer.
All fucking summer. God.
All summer.
Can't imagine what it was like to be down bad in the year of 2005.
All right, so top five movies in America this week. Number 5 is a new one, The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Number 4, debuting Cinderella Man. That was with Russell Crowe, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. That was the boxing one. And number 3, Star Wars Revenge of the Sith, which made $25 million. Number 2 is The Longest Yard, which made $26 million in its second weekend. And Madagascar rose up to number 1, making $28 million on the Memorial Day holiday. Well, I was going to say that because it was June 3rd to 5th. So yeah. It was just the first week of June. So I guess a bunch of kids were able to go.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yes.
And we will update everyone on the world of sports in the midway point here.
Yes. We have a couple pieces of news this week. From the Torch, WWE management is high on CM Punk, and key figures in pro wrestling predict he'll end up being a WWE main eventer within a few years.
6 years? I mean, Punk has been technically main eventing in 4 years, or 3 years, technically.
I do want to read this next part, though. Punk has been working WWE dark matches and heat matches recently. One friend predicts he'll end up tight with Triple H because the two are so similar in their passion for pro wrestling and similar as people overall.
Oh, wow. Who said that?
That is in the Torch, but that was from one friend of Punk, so probably Colt Cabana.
Oh, wow. Well, that's hilarious.
That really is funny as fuck, though.
Yeah. The question is whether Punk will accept a WWE developmental contract or try to hold out for a regular contract because of his strong performances elsewhere. And I think he does end up holding it. Well,
no, he doesn't. Not for much longer, because the summer of Punk is steadfast approaching.
Yeah. And then WWE management remains interested in Samoa Joe, but their main concern with him remains his physique. If he lost a few pounds, he'd have a better chance of getting here. You know, he would have been fine there. WWE is also interested in the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. Their interest will be stronger if TNA gets a national TV deal, but their deal seems to be faltering because TNA is in talks with WGN at this point.
Yeah, because they're doing the webcast stuff right now.
Yeah. And then just one more update on Shawn Michaels. He had an MRI on his knee, a decent amount of wear and tear, but he doesn't need surgery, just physical therapy, and he'll be back in a few weeks. And also Rey Mysterio has a sprained ankle at the moment.
That's not great.
Yeah. So now we can get into Raw from Calgary, the Saddle Dome.
Alberta, Canada.
Yes. Home of Canadian Stampede. Mm-hmm. The best in your house.
I want to say this is also the week going back into 2001 where Lance Storm was the first member of WCW, ECW,
yeah.
The Alliance to make an appearance on WWE television.
Yes, I mm-hmm. believe he tweeted about that the other day. So, yes, yeah. You know, We open with a tribute video to the troops narrated by Vince because it's Memorial Day, even though they're in Canada, but, you know.
I hope they boo the shit out of this.
I mean, they boo everything else.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, probably. Okay, Bailey fan, sure.
Well, I'm even talking about this show, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah. They open with a bikini contest. Lillian Garcia is a surprise entrant, but Viscera comes out and leaves with her before it gets going. Christy wins the contest, and then Christy and Candice and Maria celebrate, but Victoria has had enough and starts attacking them all. Jerry Lawler tries to help, and she kicks him in the groin and hits Christy with the widow's peak. So
Victoria is turning heel.
It's kind of funny, solid that Trish. Turn, though. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but Trish is just not there, and the belt's not there, and just
they just don't
no
care.
One cares.
Yeah.
Victoria says she should have had all the opportunities Christy's had in the past year, which, I mean, probably.
Very true.
Probably.
Very true.
I'm not going to be the one to tell her she's wrong.
Get the Heartthrobs against Hurricane and Rosie, and the World Tag Team Championships are on the line. As it turns out, the Heartthrobs are off TV for about a month because they're not very good. I was curious where they were.
Go
but
figure.
They're not
particularly good. Yeah, they were on heat. They've been on heat for a while.
Hurricane jumps off of Rosie's shoulders for a splash, and they get the win. The crowd was very high on Stacy, which... I mean, you know. Batista goes into Eric Bischoff's office, and Bischoff says his hands are tied. Triple H isn't here tonight, but Batista says he accepts the Hell in a Cell challenge, but Batista wants a contract signing next week in the ring. Hassan and Daivari want to know why Triple H is getting another title match when he's lost his last two, and Hassan is undefeated. Another decent point.
Mm-hmm.
Hassan says it's an example of the racism and prejudice, and Batista says that it's time for someone to shut him up, and he'll see him later tonight.
And Bischoff is quite okay with that idea.
Yes. Shelton Benjamin puts his Intercontinental title on the line in a triple threat match for Sylvain Grenier and Rob Conway, which doesn't seem super fair to Shelton, but, you know, the thing is, these two are trying to prove who's the better singles wrestler, so, you know, they're out going against each other and all that, and Sylvain sends Rob Conway out of the ring, and Shelton hits a T-bone on Sylvain for the win, so he retains the title.
Also, would like to just quickly point out the Saturday Night Heat taping beforehand, because I just remembered I missed that. Chris Jericho defeated Simon Dean. Tyson Tomko defeated somebody named Wavell Star or Wavell Star. William Regal defeated somebody named Nick Sin, who was Kazarni, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And Lance Storm defeated Maven in the main event of Saturday Night Heat. The dark match was between one Harry Smith, Davey Boy Smith Jr., who defeated Teddy Hart.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm very sorry to hear that. I'm very sorry to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
Chris Jericho's here for the highlight reel. He had an autograph signing today. Huge line because he's a big deal.
Yes.
Next week he'll be opening the show and announce Raw's first draft pick on the highlight reel. But that's next week. Tonight he's got Kane on the show.
And Jericho kind of acted like a dick.
Yeah.
He kept being real rude to Kane, who's clearly going through a lot. It's hard to really have sympathy for the guy, considering all that he did.
His wife left him.
His wife did leave him, yes. Yeah, he kept asking. He was acting like a shithead. There's nothing else to really say about it. But then Lita and Edge showed up on screen. First it was Edge who did. And then he said he wanted to know how it felt that he and Lita had been together for months. Edge said Lita needed a real man, and then she came on screen and said that she's filed for divorce and then flushed her ring down the toilet. So yeah, this was just more advancement in this awkward ass feud.
Yes.
And then Eric Bischoff's here. He's happy to hear that Kurt Angle is bringing SmackDown wrestlers to One Night Stand. And if Bischoff hates it so much, why did he book the tables match with Edge and Benoit?
Well, he wants to prove that he can out ECW. So
sure. Okay.
We get a tables match. Calgary, very high on Chris Benoit. Benoit was going to superplex Edge through the table, but Lita moved the table. Then Bischoff calls out Tomko and Maven to beat up Benoit because they're part of his anti-ECW crew. And Benoit fights him out, but then Snitsky comes out and Edge puts Benoit through the table. They all kind of stand over him. And Bischoff says that he hopes Paul Heyman was watching.
Yeah, so we move forward to our interview with Triple H, who told JR to shut up because he wants to just talk to Batista. He says he knows that Batista's watching, and he knew Batista was scared last week. Hell in a Cell is the final step here. It shortens careers, and he's been the one to who's made a career out of ending them in the cell, which I guess, you know, sort of has a point.
Yeah.
He did retire Mick Foley, who did come back, but he did retire him.
I guess he technically retired Kevin Nash.
Retired Kevin Nash, even though he obviously wrestled a little bit after that. But he's saying Batista should not worry about the cell, that he needs to worry about him.
Yeah.
Then we get ourselves a Master Lock Challenge featuring Val Venus, for whatever reason, and Chris Masters.
Stars.
Chris True. Masters is able to win. He should have kept it on longer,
though. Yes. Shouldn't have broke it.
We talk about four different trainers at the Future Stars Wrestling, because I believe Val Venus is as well. We talked about TJP, unfortunately. We talked about Disco Inferno, unfortunately. And we talked about Sin Bodhi Kazarni. So that would make four. Yeah. I think Val Venus is training or teaching up there.
That's a hell of a group.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, you know, look at the people that they pushed out. Who's the kid in the black kid in Impact? Chris Bay.
Oh yeah.
He's probably like not good for what I'm, you know, trying to get to, because I actually like Chris Bay. But yeah, Chris Bay, Karrion Kross, probably the two biggest ones, so yeah.
Yeah. I guess D'Lo is a trainer there too. That's good. D'Lo's there.
Yeah.
You know. That's good.
Somebody likable.
Christian's here. The crowd is very high on him. He wishes the American fans are high on him like that. goes over how the SmackDown roster is missing a Canadian. And then, you know, the Canadians booed John Cena a little bit.
They sure did. They
really did. And, like, I had to come into the group text and ask, because I don't think I ever heard like that visceral blues for no reason for John Cena before.
No. Christian says they're missing a Canadian, and he'll go over there and make the country proud.
You know, they were really positioning Christian pretty well here, and it's, I guess, a wonder where it all just kind of pitfalled.
Yeah.
But they've been giving him so much promo time lately, and he's killed every single part.
Yeah.
The stuttering part particularly made me laugh.
Yes.
Not cool, but Matt Morgan sucks.
Batista against Muhammad Hassan. Batista comes out with his new music.
Yes, we get the debut of I Walk Alone.
Yeah. Good stuff. Legendary.
Legendary theme song.
Thank you so much to Saliva for that song. I'm never going to be able to like hear that theme song without thinking of Xavier doing the fucking going crazy in the fucking, which is even more funny when you realize, like, oh, that dude was crying about 30 minutes ago. Now yeah, he's just like having the time of his life listening to Batista. That's so dope.
If
you had to rank the three new iconic themes that we've gotten so far in these last couple weeks, between Batista's I Walk Alone, Edge's Metalingus, and John Cena's The Time Is Now, where would you rank all three of them?
Well, I'd say Metalingus, I Walk Alone, and then The Time Is Now. They're all elite, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Metalingus could be up there for like the best theme in the history of the company, so that would probably be number one. You know, The Time Is Now obviously is iconic, but I think your order was probably correct, yeah.
I agree.
Batista stomps Hassan in the corner and won't relent, so he gets disqualified. This kind of continues beating him up, and then Daivari comes in, beats him up too, and they both get Batista bombs, and Batista leaves because he's mad at Triple H and taking it out on others.
Yes.
That's Raw. It was not very good.
Nah, not really. Let's talk basketball.
Yes, so
by the way, Portland is down 4 and they're 4 minutes away from elimination.
Oh damn. All right, so as we left us last time, Miami was leading the series 2-1 against Detroit, and Phoenix
or I'm sorry, San Antonio had a 3-0 lead on Phoenix. Through this week and through this week only, we will be updating here. So San Antonio was able to clinch the Western Conference by defeating the Suns in five. They won on June 1st to win the series off of 31-15 from Tim Duncan. Mari Stoudemire dropped 42 points in a losing effort. So he nearly accounted for nearly half of the points that the Suns had. So he had a hell of a series, but no one will even remember it because of, you know, the fact that they were able to dust them off that quickly. Meanwhile, in Miami-Detroit, Game 4 was won by the Pistons, who won on their home floor to tie up the series at two games apiece. Rip Hamilton scored 28, so did Dwayne Wade. In Game 5, the Heat were able to win down at the American Airlines Arena, 88-76. That's a real ugly score. Shaq was the team's leading scorer with only 20, and Rip Hamilton had 21 points. And Antonio McDyess, who I forgot was on the Pistons, led the team in rebounds with 9.
Oh, yeah.
And then on June the 4th, the Pistons were able to protect their home floor and win to tie the series at 3 games apiece to force it to a Game 7 by winning 91-66. The Heat scored 66 points in a 48-minute game.
That's gross.
That is gross. And Shaq had 24 of those points, by the way, so he had over a third of that. They never had a quarter where they scored less than 13 points.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't a playoff game, but the Bulls, one of the first couple of years, rebuilding, scored, I think, 49 against the game. So,
yeah.
You know.
Okay. So, dabbling on here to see if there's anything else. Apparently, on June 1st, an independent commission charged by the EPL with investigating the alleged tapping up of Arsenal defender Ashley Cole by Chelsea issued its findings, and they said that Cole, Chelsea, and Jose Mourinho were all found guilty. So they were each fined a lot of pounds.
Seems bad.
Seems bad. Let's see if there's anything else worth noting here. So apparently on June 4th, there was an early season game between the Marlins and the Nationals, and outfielder Marlon Byrd accidentally railroaded the second base umpire Joe Brinkman while rushing towards first base ump Bill Miller to argue a call during the top of the seventh. And Byrd was ejected seconds before he smashed into him, who was uninjured.
So I don't remember. Do I have a reason to hate Marlon Byrd?
He was
a part
of
those like former Cubs who like, okay, maybe they were problematic. I can't remember.
I know he was pretty good for it. I think he did steroids when he got to the Mets, but who cares? I mean,
I got one. The Georgia Force won the Arena League's National Conference Championship game 60-58, thanks to quarterback Matt Nagy, who threw 7 touchdowns and ran for another.
Hell yeah.
So Matt Nagy made it to the Arena Football League Championship round that year. No shit.
Yes.
Oh, wow. They're going to get the brakes beat off of them by Colorado. Colorado had a quarterback and a wide receiver that were a pretty good tandem. I'm forgetting the name of them, though. But, okay, Matt Nagy. Go ahead. Go ahead, son.
We're back to being pro-Matt Nagy.
Yes.
All it took was the prince who was promised. Ain't that some shit?
Then on June 5th, that Sunday, Rafael Nadal beat Mariano Puerta for the men's singles title in the 2005 French Open.
Oh, there we go.
Who won the women's side?
I do not know actually who won the women's
side. Okay, so it wasn't Serena. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it was. I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It was not Serena. Yeah.
Women's singles. Yeah, I don't actually know.
Anyway, Portland's going home, and it's really interesting to see what happens with Dame after this.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see if there's any baseball facts worth noting here. Apparently, on June the 1st, 2005, after the team finished the first 2 months of the season with a 19-32 win-loss record, the Houston Chronicle printed an obituary for the last-place Houston Astros. I wonder what happens to them the rest of the year.
Wait, what happens to the Astros?
Yeah, Yeah.
I can't believe I asked. What happened to the Astros in 2005? That was a dumbass. Wait, so what's their record in June 1st?
They were 19-32 on June 1st.
No shit. So they must not have had, they must not have had their pitching whip then.
Mm-hmm. And then also on June 5th, it marked the first time since 1933 that a big league team representing Washington, D.C. found itself in first place at this point of the season.
Oh, there you go.
Washington Nationals were in first place in June?
They were.
What the fuck?
The 05 Nats were in first place, and then they completely just threw up all over themselves the rest of the way.
I'm like, how was that possible? They were terrible.
Oh, actually, because they went 81-81, and that was actually the last place finish in the NL East. Wow, the NL East was really good that year.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Even Florida was fake decent. Goddamn. Even Florida was fake decent.
So yeah, they were 83-79.
Wow. Oh, shit. Jock Peterson hit it like 80 feet into the bay.
Woo! Let's go.
He's providing a Nazi. If anyone knows how to hit that park.
That's true. Anyway, SmackDown from Edmonton, Alberta. We open with Carlito's Cabana yet again. The crowd's really big into Carlito, but then he calls Edmonton the least cool city in North America. So kind of turns them. Big Show won't be on SmackDown tonight because Matt Morgan hit his shitty F5 on him last week. And Carlito's guest is John Cena, who comes out in a Wayne Gretzky's Oilers jersey. So
nice touch.
Yeah.
Nice touch.
Cena,
you know the awesome thing about that home run? Sorry, I just watched it. You know the awesome thing about the home run? The time it takes to look at it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fernando Tatis for looking at your home runs. Normalize looking and staring at your beauty and at your art.
Carlito told Cena to be careful with Matt Morgan because he saw what he did to Big Show. And Cena said this might be the last time they're in the ring together. So Cena has to tell him that Carlito's not cool.
Was that one of Carlito the worst says if he F5s that we've ever seen?
Oh, yeah. It's very bad. Carlito says if he can beat Cena down on his very first night in SmackDown, he can't wait to see what happens when Triple H or Edge or Shawn Michaels get drafted to SmackDown to embarrass him. Cena doesn't care who it is. If you want some, come get some. And then Teddy Long told Cena before he came out that they're in a match tonight. Carlito and Matt Morgan against Cena and Big Show. So Big Show is there.
Go figure.
Yeah.
And then Booker T went to Teddy Long's office. He wanted Sharmell out of the match with Kurt Angle tonight. Otherwise, Booker might do something that he regrets. Said he's going to keep the match, but will add Booker T to it. Then we get Eminem versus Charlie Haas and Hardcore Holly in a 15 minutes of fame match. Which
really,
is another
Charlie Haas and Hardcore Holly should be privileged to be in the presence of Eminem. Not many people can do that. But the fact that Charlie Haas from Seton Hall University, I'm pretty sure he probably listened to a lot of Eminem in his dorm room, and Hardcore Holly, who probably never listened to Eminem at all, you know, maybe his kids had some tapes. He's from Alabama, right? You know? They're probably really big into Eminem in Alabama. This was a starstruck meeting for them. Pretty sure.
This is a great bit, by the way.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Because this has got to be around the time that they were trying to get him, right?
Probably.
They tried to get him many times.
Many times.
Yeah. But, okay, fair point.
This is a 15 minutes of fame match. I actually vividly remember this one. Something that really just stuck with Eminem's gimmick. And you know what? This was pretty fine. Mercury rolled up Hardcore for the first fall. Eminem got a fall during commercial.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that.
I mean,
because you care about Hardcore Holly.
That's true.
And then
Charlie Haas kind of gets the desperation fall with 5 minutes to go. And we get an Alabama slam with about 20 seconds left, but Melina gets on top of Joey Mercury. And
that's good stuff.
Yeah, by the time Hardcore is able to remove her, time expires.
That's good stuff. So. That's really good. It keeps everything going for a little bit. Won't last too long. It keeps everything going for a little bit and gets plenty of heel heat on him. And who I think that they are booking like a charm right now.
Yeah.
They're one of the best things going on SmackDown right now.
Did you guys catch the first episode of the 50 Greatest Tag Teams?
No, I was just going to wait till it all came out to watch it. But yeah, I saw the list and it doesn't seem bad so far.
No, I mean, my brother was upset that Rated RKO is number 40. My brother makes a really good case for Rated RKO being a top 10 tag team of all time. In his case, they're number 4. Actually, it was either 4 or 6. I can't remember. But he makes a really good case for Rated RKO being up that high. And 40, listen, okay, the ones that they named after Rated RKO, I get it. Like, London and Kendrick are on there. Eminem, I think, is slightly behind Rated RKO. But...
yeah, I think like Haas and Benjamin were 37 or so. Yeah.
Actually, I think Haas and Benjamin are criminally low.
Yeah.
Granted, they weren't together for a really long time either, but 37 is criminally low.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just, like I said, I'm waiting. I thought it was, yeah, I know the Bushwhackers, I think, were 50, which I thought was low just based on how they treat them historically, too. But
yeah, they do act like the Bushwhackers were hot shit, which, I mean, they were over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. So it's time for Booker T and Charmel against Kurt Angle. Before the match, Angle wants to address his confrontation with Taz last week. Wants to know if he disrespected Taz or disrespected ECW. But he also says that what comes around goes around because Angle was disrespected at his one ECW appearance by Taz. And they show the clip where Taz says that Angle's a great amateur wrestler, but Taz's a great professional wrestler. I thought that was cool to show that.
Oh, yeah.
But Kurt knows that Taz didn't do that on his own. Paul Heyman made him do it. Because Taz isn't like those other ECW morons and idiots because he came to WWE and became a superstar. And he's a superstar because of WWE, and Angle wants Taz to join his anti-ECW crusade and tells him to think about it. And then the match begins. Booker kind of keeps Angle away from Charmel. Booker hits a superplex, and Charmel goes for the cover, but Angle kicks out at 2. Then Booker goes down, and Charmel kind of tries to fight off Kurt Angle, but gets an ankle lock, but Booker... super kicks Angle and gets out of it. And the ref goes down, Angle hits Booker with a chair and pins Charmel in a fairly gross way.
Yes.
Booker gets the chair and then Angle retreats and Booker says he's going to kill him.
As he should.
No. Yeah. Heidenreich beat Devin Nicholson and then JBL's out. Says the reason he has all the stitches in his head and the reason the I Quit match happened was because ECW normalized that sort of thing. Paul Heyman is a big fat lying stooge with a skullet. I mean,
okay.
A skullet. What the fuck is a skullet?
Is a mullet
and a mullet together?
Yeah, it's yeah. The he's bald on top.
Oh,
he's
got, you know, balding.
Terry.
Yeah.
That's a good name for it.
Yeah,
that's a good name.
I mean, it's funny though, like you see Heyman for the past however many years and he looks so much more normal now than he did with his kind of hair situation here, you know, just
yeah.
he accepted the fact that
he did.
He's bald.
Yeah.
Everyone brought the ECW DVD in droves, but what about JBL's DVD? And he's facing Nunzio in an ECW rules match. JBL throws Nunzio out of the ring, and he crawls under and gets a kendo stick and starts beating up JBL and the cabinet, but then JBL gets up and hits a big boot and a clothesline from hell and beats Nunzio.
Yeah. So afterwards, Booker told Teddy Long that this isn't going to keep happening, and either he's going to let him finish it, he'll go to Angle's house and finish it. Jesus. Ted said that if they're both on SmackDown after the draft, then Booker T can have his match. Then we get to our main event, John Cena and The Big Show versus Matt Morgan and Carlito. Basically, Cena got the hot tag, hit the FU on Carlito for his last match on SmackDown for about a year.
Yes.
Nice little send-off against Carlito.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has had beef with over the last couple of weeks, or months, I guess. Now he gets to go on to greener pastures, greener dollars, and lots of hate on Monday Night Raw. But I do think, like, Cena on SmackDown, like, this is where he solidified himself. This is where he became, you know, a central figure. It took him a really rough road to get to the point where he's at right now. And the fact that Vince trusts him enough to let him lead the A show, I think, you know, is a huge testament to the work that Cena put in over the past 3 years to get to this point. So, yeah, this is the last time that we'll see a champion on SmackDown for about a month.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be I don't really remember too much of the draft outside of, you know, Cena and Batista, obviously. So it's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah. Like the in-between. Like, I think I remember when Kurt Angle comes in.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, everyone else is kind of blurry. Even Christian. I don't remember how Christian debuted on SmackDown. So this is going to be a nice little month coming up to... to see. Like, don't ever do it again, WWE, please, because like it's not a good marketing tool.
No, it's just not, do it all in one night.
It's not gonna raise your 1 point whatever rating on Memorial Day. I'll say that. People really exactly give a shit about Memorial Day ratings. What the hell? King of the Ring.
I say M&M. They retain their titles.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if
we like that.
I don't remember if we've ever given it to them. We might have when they won the tag titles. I don't remember, but
no, they can.
I like them now. Yeah.
That's fine. Sure.
Yeah, M&M. Congratulations. That's gonna be it for us. Next time that we talk, will it be after? Because is that next week or the week after?
For what? House? That's next. The 13th.
Yeah, the 13th. So
it's a Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was a USA special or not.
I think. I believe we have one night stand next week.
Correct. We do.
Yeah, we do. So not only will we be talking about NXT In Your House, previewing NXT In Your House, we're also going to talk about One Night Stand, which is the best pay-per-view of 2005, which is one of the best WWE pay-per-views ever. And
Yes.
Yeah, it's one that I ran back on my brother's DVD so many fucking times. So I'm excited to go back and rewatch One Night Stand. We got some basketball to watch now, so the way I'm betting right now, I'm pretty sure the Lakers are going to win. We'll check back tomorrow. I am at Cameron Santo. Rob's at Robert O'Neill 31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. We'll do the 25 probably next week. I kind of flubbed this week because I'm trying to go to San Diego and things are thinging. So we'll get that coming up for you. That's going to be on our Patreon, patreon.com/barbershairnetwork. $10 will get you that. We'll also get you episodes of Summer Sessions, special episodes of the 4040 Club. That's all for $10 all-access subscribers. So be on the lookout. I really ain't got shit else to promote, man. Just peace and love, and let's hope Justin Fields is starting on week one, baby. This has been Ruthless Aggression. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. We will see you guys next week. Enjoy all the wrestling. We'll see you guys for One Night Stand and for In Your House.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.